At least, again, at least you've actually watched the episode, unlike certain other guests that I could name.
Oh my god, that was amazing.
I have, I've actually
it's
watched
happened
the
twice.
I know.
Okay. I wanted the week off. I really, really hoped that I could duck out of at least one of the three bad episodes that we've got coming up.
Yeah, well, if I'm dealing with both of them, you're dealing.
And you've dragged me into this mess.
Yeah, I want to let my co-hosts take the bullet, and instead we've been locked into this. Me and Ryan are trapped here, laboring in the content mines. we've been imprisoned here by the tyrannical whims of the new regime who has taken over the podcast and who has condemned us for our posting crimes. Without Frosty, who will save us from this new regime? Who will save us from the terror of the Blaze regime?
No one. We're all gonna die.
You don't want to be part of my regime.
That's the end of it. We're dead. Done.
Hi everyone.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to Stargate Oversight, a podcast about Stargate, the Canadian TV show about the American military run by three British people, and
specifically the American Air Force.
Yeah, the American Air Force, our brave troops in their...
in their perfectly manicured mansion with their lovely dinners.
Yeah. Yeah, their perfectly manicured haircuts. They're playing volleyball in the sand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they have to.
They're riding motorbikes. They're flying F-14s.
America,
I wish we were doing Top Gun again. It's a real shame you missed Top Gun, Ryan. It was a good episode.
I've seen the film, and I will listen to the episode.
I don't even have Frosty's playing with the boys drops. So yes, hi once again. My name is Hope Freyhorn. My pronouns are she and it, and I have to run the show today. I hate it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you poor unfortunate soul.
Wait, who is that voice? What is that?
Hi, I'm Blaze. I'm the guest today. My pronouns are she and her. Pleasure to be here. Thank you for bringing me in.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to have you. I hope you can deal with our bullshit and don't hate, don't hate us too
I deal
much.
With Hope on a daily basis. Heck, I'm even dating her, and so I can clearly pull up with the pair of you.
Sorry to hear about that.
This is the advantage to having a polycule. If something goes wrong, you can just bully one of your girlfriends into coming on the pod when shit goes wrong.
Yep. And I'm Ryan, my pronouns are he and him, and I'm just here. Along for the ride.
It's okay, Ryan. This week does not promise it. Okay, this episode does not promise us anything on the level of last week, I think. You know, no Grover House.
Oh my, you
no
killed
Liz.
Me last week.
No, no, we could always bring Grover out. I'm certain we've still got more to learn about it.
No.
And he's here tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
We clearly don't, because you... I don't know if you watched that episode, the length of time they spent dedicated to telling me about Grover was insane.
I heard that not much of that podcast was about what it was supposed to be about, and it was about giving you nightmares.
It was literally just, I'm sitting there in silence, mouth agape, confused, and just like, what? Can we talk about the episode? No, Grover. Okay.
Yeah, we're sitting, listen, we have escorted Ryan up the stairs, past the trapdoor window, to the top floor of Grover House, where we sat him down in the chair.
How did you get there so safely?
You know, it's actually built relatively well, if comically. And then we were showing him videos of Liz Holmes, and then we gave him a Quadro tracker and said, find the episode.
I forgot about the Liz Holmes. Jesus Christ. Mm. Anyway, we're talking about Stargate. And
yeah, I've been editing. I was editing that episode today, so I heard all our bullshit again. Like, oh yeah, that and that.
I tried to forget that.
We should just hijack it and talk about BattleBots instead.
I have actually... So, fun fact, I have actually written a BattleBots joke into the second episode we're doing tonight.
Of course you have.
Of course you have.
No, it's a tenuous link. It's about our favorite battle. It's
of
about
course
our favorite
it's a
robot
tenuous
Blaze.
Link. Everything's a tenuous link with you.
It's about Riptide.
Oh, of course
about
it's
our favorite
about Riptide.
Boys.
Yay! I look forward to that.
Okay, so, but yeah. This week on Stargate, moss, trees.
Spooky music!
Big old spider that clearly is a... Right, is that a real spider, or is that just like...
I don't know. Go on. the animal wiki, the movie animal database.
It's fucking huge. They either superimposed it, like, you know, got in real close, or they just used a fucking, like, I don't know, animatronic spider, which is, like, a lot of effort.
Canadian forest spiders. I think you get some big spiders. Yeah, you can get huntsman spiders.
Oh, well, that'll do it then.
Yeah, if it was a huntsman, well, that'll do it.
Yeah, orb weavers.
But then again,
Sorry. No, it's fine. I was just talking shit about spiders.
You can't tell. This episode's a bit... It's like, you know, it's an episode. So I'm talking about the spider.
They filmed it in the Australian outback, clearly, just to get that
one episode. Just one episode.
Hey, next episode they go to Cornwall, so I think we're in good company.
Oh, that's the end of SG1. Let's go.
But yeah, we're in Canadian Forest, brackets spooky. We've got ominous music, a spider web. But it's not just any spooky forest. It's a boring spooky forest, you know? SG1 are there, and they're bored as fuck. No radio, no electrochemistry. You know, it's perfectly boring. Let's go home. Not as the plan may be, because we are introduced to Random Dude.
Random Dude Sir in rags.
Sir barely appearing in this episode. Like, hey, help, help, help! Wait. I mean... God, I miss Frosty, I'm sorry.
Oh, you don't have your friend to bounce off of, that's a shame.
No, it's fine. We got this. So yeah. Like asking for help, demanding, you know, SG1, you know, like a people.
Assisting, Americans, I definitely guess. Seeming very panicked, maybe a little delusional. And of course SG1 being as oblivious as they are, to say they're some of the smartest people in that series, decide to help him. Because why wouldn't they?
It's meant to be the best of humanity, human decency and all that, you know? Yeah. We should help. Because normally, because I think the thing for SG1 is, this is the start of your average plot. Help, help, the ghouls are after me. Help, help.
Help, something's after me. Don't say ghoul. Yeah. It just says help.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the point. This man has arrived and he has a... Storm, for fuck's sake, stop knocking my camera off.
Ah, yes, the mid-podcast cat. Here we go.
I mean, that's you. Storm's a staple of this podcast by annoying Hope.
Yeah. Speaking of staples, yeah, this dude is on the run from danger. He's brought the plot with him, and the plot is an alien abduction.
The plot is... No.
The plot is go straight to jail, do not pass go, do not collect $200 Canadian for the crime of...
You have helped a murderer. How? You picked him up. What?
You touched this man. You ran into this guy. And now an alias.
It sounds like the American justice system.
It's like if a convict ran through the streets and shoulder barged someone and that person is now part of the crime.
Yep.
Yeah, basically.
Also,
Did I mention this episode is terrible?
You are on ancient grounds. Okay, sorry about that. We didn't know. You are carrying weapons on ancient grounds. Okay, again, we didn't know. Prison. What? No, can we talk to it in prison? Bye.
Jail!
Jail, 100,000 years dungeon!
You have been banned till 2037. SG1, the fucking... These things snap their fingers and SG1 goes straight to fucking jail. Which the guy runs off. And welcome to the second dumbest jail we've seen on this podcast.
What's the first dumbest?
Have you seen the movie Face Off?
I have.
No, that's a good movie.
It's a magnet prison! Everyone has magnet boots and it's a giant magnet! It's
perfect!
The movie is brilliant. The prison is dumb. The Supermax prison, Blaze, yes. Right? There's a giant electromagnet. All the prisoners have to wear giant metal boots that they can barely lift off to walk. They're just walking around a giant magnet.
The anti-escape plan, yes.
Yeah, also it's on an oil rig. off the coast.
And what's the point in having electromagnetic boots if they can't even get anywhere due to it being so offshore?
There is also a helicopter gunship guarding the prison.
It just sounds like overkill. But then again,
there's no kill like overkill in America. No kill like overkill. Exactly. Welcome to a temple from Zelda that has been repurposed as a prison. And SG-1 are rather regretting they've forgotten their Sheikah Stone.
Wow. I mean, it's a Puripad now. It's not a Sheikah.
Yeah, it's a Puripad. Just like they've upgraded.
They upgraded.
Oh, they've upgraded just the Puripad. Okay, what next? The Buddha Ball?
No, because the character's called Pura who made it.
I know. I've seen the fan art.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have not seen any fan art of an incredibly attractive, kind of, like, tired, gothy kind of lady.
How can we get a Nintendo Switch into the game but not make it look like a Nintendo Switch? Oh, just add some ancient runes to it and call it the Purapad. Off you go.
Take this, Nintendo. It's a PS5.
Oh, man, I'd love a PS5. Actually, I have a PS5.
It's a PS Vita.
Oh, man. Oh, okay. Quick cut. Did you see the PlayStation not Vita that is just fucking screen with Wi-Fi to stream your games from, and that's it?
Is that literally what it is? It's literally just a Wi-Fi connection to
it's an Android tablet
screen
with a PS5 kind of controller stretched around it with Wi-Fi to stream the games from your PS5 to it. That's it.
I saw an image of that where it was a screen, but it was gooped. Controllers were gooped onto the sides of it using the same goop that's used in Zelda.
That's kind of basically it, essentially. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. If it's cheap enough, that's a cool idea. If it's like $100, that's fine. If it's like $200 to $300, no way.
Yeah, but it's PlayStation. It's going to be like $400. Yeah. We know this.
But anyway, so the Stargate crew pop out into their lovely place, which is looks like a weird cave.
Yeah, it's a repurposed Legend of Zelda temple.
It basically
and
is.
Underground by an undiscernible amount of feet.
Well, there's a couple of feet on the ground next to them, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, there are.
Smouldering and ready to be taken.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a dude just nips up and is like, it just steals the fucking shoes off the feet.
Oh, no, he takes the feet as well.
He takes the feet too.
Oh, he takes the feet. Oh, yeah, he does.
He needs to eat those. They're food.
I mean,
yeah, this man is not scared of defeat.
Those feet are perfectly roasted. You'll be eating well tonight.
Hey.
Alright. And then, what? We have the residents show up whistling an ominous tune.
They're just like covered in filth and rags.
Oh, Dennis, I found some lovely filth. We're not quite Monty Python peasant level, but we are very close with the outfits.
Oh, they're getting there. It feels like they borrowed them from the Monty Python set.
But yeah, Jack, having seen the peasants, he's like, okay, let's take charge. I used to be MacGyver, so what do we need to get out of here?
We need a paperclip, a rubber band.
And a coat.
All right, we have everything but the rubber band. Well, we're fucked.
All right, so yeah, so Jack has been through this prison life before and is clearly prepared because, Teal'c, you're the hard man. This will be your job for the rest of the episode. You will be hard.
I mean, to be fair, that is the best job for Teal'c in this episode.
Well, with a recent role that he took on in the PlayStation game, he is now dad of boy and must be the tough man.
The strong, silent type.
Yes.
Which Teal'c already is.
Oh, man. So they're walking through the prison, and one of the Monty Python peasants walks up to them with a dead body. Like, hey, welcome to prison. How's things? Would you like a free dead guy? He killed himself.
I didn't kill him. He killed himself. Okay. Jack's just like, yeah.
Why are you telling me this?
I don't believe
you. Can I trade this necklace for some time with
the body?
Just looks like it just side eyes Connor. It's like, come on, really?
Connor already proved she can, like, knock out these guys at this point.
Yeah. Oh yeah, right, because there's been a fight, and there's been like a little mini fight, and Carter beat someone up.
The big dude tried to grab her, and she just fucking bashed his head, like headbutt.
Yes, we completely skipped Linnea.
Yeah, so Carter gets grabbed by Vishnor, who is just a big fucking fat dude, basically.
He's a big dude.
And she immediately bashes her head into his, breaks his, like, I think she, I'm not sure if she breaks his nose, but he's definitely bleeding.
Yeah, she does the smart thing, yeah. She nuts it.
And then this lovely, this little old lady, who is surely lovely and innocent, in the prison for murderers, shows up.
Yes, it is an older lady that seems to be the leader of these Monty
Mass
Python
murderers
things.
And crazy people.
Listen, she claims Carter by prison rules, and Linnea may be a bit older than Doc Frazier, but I'm sure the military life has Carter well prepared for the situation.
She claims Carter to be the start of her own polycule.
Yeah, she's like, I rule this
limited
place.
Opportunities in the prison for expanding a polycule. Yeah.
But she's like, I rule this place, let her go. She's mine now. And it's like, okay, weird.
Those women she's must stick together.
Yeah. Female solidarity in this time until Linnea discovers Carter is trans and then she reveals herself to be a massive turf.
I mean, she's in prison.
J.K. Rowling, is
exactly.
That you?
She is in prison, it makes sense.
I mean, J.K. Rowling has probably spent about as much hate as Linnea has deaths.
Oof.
It's not libel, I said
to
probably.
To be fair, if death wasn't, if murder wasn't illegal, I'm certain J.K. Rowling would be level with her at this point.
I'm just checking with our lawyer. All good.
MI6 agent listening into this? This is a joke.
but yeah, so having been rescued, made a friend, and dodged out on... I do worms as much as Frosty now. I see why she does it so much. I've been calling them a gang because they split up and look for clues.
Yeah.
Jack goes with Carter to speak to Old Woman Withers, and Daniel and Teal go off to see if they can find a rubber suit hiding anywhere. Yeah.
I mean, what else have they got to do down there?
I mean, I spoiled this like last season, but we see here that Jack has prison experience. He's like, Daniel, take your glasses off. You don't look weak in prison.
I mean... It feels like Jack knows way. I mean, he does. He's an Air Force man. Why does he know so much about prison?
I can answer that, but it's not sport. Jack's been in an Iraqi prison.
Oh, fair enough.
Of course he is.
I mean, that makes sense.
It wasn't exactly an official operation. You know the drop. I don't have it to hand.
So why, when they take the glasses off of Daniel, does he seem to be seeing just fine?
Well, I think that...
Because Michael Shanks doesn't need glasses.
Understandable.
He's wearing glasses because the Daniel in the movie wore glasses.
He will be losing those glasses in 2 episodes time.
That makes sense.
As I said, Action Jackson has to happen, and him losing his glasses is part of the Action Jackson arc. Yeah, it's part of the Daniel on Drugs episode, which we have to look forward to.
Oh, that'll be a joy to watch. I'll have to get a copy of
meanwhile,
it.
Meanwhile, back at the SGC, we see SG3 who have been out on SG1 finding duty. No, they may have found where they went. They're talking to people. You know, they're doing some shit.
They're doing some stuff.
Yeah, they're doing some... They're in the vibe zone.
So, let me get this straight. SG3 have been taken out to go to where SG1 are because they've obviously lost their trackers. And need to, obviously, they've stopped moving. There's clearly a problem. We need to go after them.
We are many, many years out from the subcutaneous trackers that they will be having, that they will get later on in the series for various reasons.
Understandable. Again, as someone who's not seen that far, I wouldn't know.
You gotta remember, it's still 1997.
It's true.
So... Yeah, Jack and Carter go to meet Linnea, and we get Jack's catchphrase.
Earth, the It's way, way out there.
And he sounds like he's on drugs again, saying it this time as well. But, hey, honestly, when we have someone who's actually plot savvy enough, you know, the plot actually moves along relatively quickly because Linnea understands that these guys are from a new place and that they know shit she doesn't know. And she's willing to swap some deets, including welcome to a Type V, welcome to Stargate's Type B planet. Surface dead, we're underground, shit's fucked. You know, the usual.
We're under there because we've committed heinous crimes of existing.
Yes.
By a faceless government.
As seen in several previous episodes, including the one where SG-1 were turned into robots.
See, if I was Jack, I'd be questioning all of the goops and potions that are across the wall, but he says nothing about it.
I mean, Jack does kind of go like, hey, we're not going to tell you stuff until you, like, help us do the thing, like, and stuff. He does do that, at the very least.
Yeah, Jack's very quid pro quo, as opposed to Carter and Daniel, who do not understand the importance of keeping shit safe in a negotiation.
All right.
Carter was just like, about to straight up tell us both, like, he's in a prison for mass murderers.
Carter does seem like a smart woman, I've noticed.
Yeah. She's normally the smartest person in the room, but here, maybe not. But yeah, Linnea explains various things, but mainly that they live in a society. Even in this prison, they live in a society.
Yeah, yes, we live in a society. Got that nailed down.
But the thing with society is that's betrayed. Linnea has electrical power, and SG-1 can get out of there. Which... Okay, so we cut back to Earth, and SG-3 here delivering the bad news. Well, we've got SG-1. Stuff. They're in prison for doing the big crime. They wouldn't say what the big crime is. And they're not allowed to leave. So, you get me the diplomatic corps.
A loophole. How the hell did they get that stuff? Was it just given willingly? Did they find it?
Yeah.
No, they'd say the people they spoke to, I can't remember their name. It doesn't really matter. We're not going to see them again after this episode.
Oh, yes. The Taldor.
The Taldor. Thank you, Blaze. And the Taldor will not be seen again after this episode. But yeah, they're like, here, okay, fine. Here you go. Here's their stuff. We don't need their guns and tactical vests and stuff littering the place. So, you know, here you go. It's a show of good faith. And yeah, SG-3 are reassigned to go and do their regular exploration. And they're going to get SG-9 because they have a diplomatic team now. They're learning!
They need a diplomatic team after all the crap that SG-1 gets themselves in.
Yeah, that would be useful.
You have no idea the amount of shit SG-1 get into, including such lovely things as turned into cavemen on the planet of light and dark.
Or turned into robots, as you said.
Turned into robots. Infected with nanocytes that make you grow really old, and also you sleep with someone who's 3 days old.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
They're 3 days old, but they're also like 40. It's weird. It's fucking, it's very weird. I don't want to talk about that episode again.
I'm not certain how the age of consent comes into this now. It would work, but let's not go there.
Nope.
Moving on.
Touching a random mirror and ending up in another universe. You know, normal things that would need a diplomatic corps for.
Yes, the best of the best, but also the most curious and willing to get into trouble.
Well, that's what makes them the best of the best, because they actually are willing to get into trouble and stick their nose in where it doesn't belong. And oh, look, this is really, oh shit, we're in prison. Oh. So yeah, it's time to do some negotiation. It's also time to break the universe, because here we are introduced to the concept of cold fusion. You know what cold fusion is, right?
Yeah.
Yep, I'm aware.
So... just imagine how world-changing the idea of being able to do cold fusion with a fucking plant is.
Yes, a ball of fungal moss doing cold fusion. How anyone in that room has not decided to just vaporize, we don't know.
Don't worry about it. It's fine.
MacGuffins work in weird ways.
Yeah, exactly. Also not appearing in any other episode again.
Yep. Plot device for one episode, and one episode alone.
Whatever. I can run about this at the end. But yeah. So, we have the ingredients in Society for Trade. Linnea has power. SG-1 have gate knowledge and can get them out of there. Seems the perfect trade, really.
Yeah.
And
I scratch your back, you scratch mine.
Exactly. So I'm going to say something, because I had someone open there. I was about to say something as well. And everyone will shut up.
No, carry on.
Okay. But yeah, we also see that Teal'c is having a great time. He's been working out, and he gets to practice his choke-a-bitch move. Because I don't know what's happening. Like, he's just guarding Daniel Jackson, and then he's just choking somebody out. Which, sure, I guess it works. Jack approves. So, Christopher Judge's choke slam. Teal'c trained, Jack approved. I don't. No, that joke does not land. Never mind.
Run through the ringer with Jack's smart ass approval. So I do have to ask a question regarding Carter. Is she human? Is she just really smart? Or is there something more to her?
So Carter is human, but a few episodes ago, specifically one episode ago, Carter came down with a case of Gould possession.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, but the thing is, it was the good kind of Gould, because that last episode introduced the concept of the Tok'ra.
Which is the Gould freedom fighters.
Yeah, the Gould freedom fighters, exactly.
Hmm.
This episode is dedicated to the brave Tok'ra resistance fighters.
Why did I immediately have like the same thought? Like, my brain just went, that's such a yeah.
Because the people of this podcast share one brain cell at a time.
Yeah.
Like, I have the podcast brain cell, the Polycule brain cell, and the streamer brain cell.
And the Starfall brain cell. All one the same cell, to be fair.
Yeah, listen, the brain cell gets passed around more than me at a party.
Oh, God. Got that.
She did not cut that.
Yeah, and what's one more person to pass you to?
But yeah, so we have power, and now we need a plan, which, you know, we'll work it out, we'll wing it.
We'll okay. Figure it out.
That's how SG-1 goes, wing it and hope for
honestly,
best.
A lot of the time, yeah.
Yes. It's like, are we going to die? Maybe.
Should we try this? Will it kill us? Maybe.
Did it work?
I mean,
yep.
The season one finale of the show ended with them sitting on a ship that had been rigged to blow with C4, so, and looking at Earth from the attack ship. But yeah, so while they're planning, we also have time for philosophizing. What crime did Linnea do?
Oh yes.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We were done for basically jaywalking, which.
She's probably fine. Don't question it.
Dear Americans, jaywalking is a dumb fucking thing, and it's stupid.
I would never... Claire, I would never advise jaywalking when you have idiot drivers on the road. Who knows what might happen? You may damage a car.
Yeah. You might end up being in trouble or having to pay insurance.
The whole idea of pedestrians have to look out for drivers, not the other way around. It's wrong to me. I hate it.
Yeah, like, we're not... Those pedestrians aren't the ones driving around two-ton murder machines.
Exactly. She says, as someone who drives a two-ton murder machine. Anyway. Yeah.
But it's electric. It doesn't count as a proper car, let's be honest.
Oh, them's fighting words, girlfriend.
And I will continue to back him up.
All right, I'll leave you at Dalton Towers then.
Oh, damn. Are you gonna, you're going to leave me at the train station. You're never going to show up.
But yeah, this is where Jack mentioned he was mentions that, yes, indeed, he was in prison before. Doesn't give us any details, but, you know...
Wasn't exactly an official mission.
Yeah, that's Jack's comments about being in prison. Don't worry about it.
I see. Well, but okay. I will readily admit I've not seen the episode. I've not seen much in the way of Stargate, so I can't.
It's a learning experience. It is. It's fine.
I may actually have to sit down and watch it all sometime.
Oh, sure. I would encourage that. It's a pretty good show so far.
Hmm. So yeah, we need a so we have a problem with our plan. We can't go to Earth.
Why?
Because the Iris, and we don't have our garage door openers, which is what the GDO stands for.
Garage door openers, hey. It's to the point.
The little code thing they have on their wrist, that's what it's called.
That is very military, actually. That is very military.
Simple, yeah, straight to the point, and just easy for Jareds to understand. So yeah, all good there.
Exactly. But yeah, we don't have any more time because, oh, the gate's dialing in. And, well, I would call the people of the prisoners hogs because, well, out comes the slop trough as the gate pisses concrete and we see literal hogs at the slop. I wrote half these jokes with Frosty in mind.
Yep.
Yeah, you did.
You failed.
Slop, listeners, prevalent in every prisoner situation since the beginning of time.
See, listen, that's why you get a job in the prison kitchen so you and you actually, like, add red wine stock cubes to the ragu. You learn to cook, you teach them how to, you do good cooking on a budget. Oh, wait, it's all paid for by the state and it's all corrupt and the state makes profit off it.
Oh, no.
Hooray. Hooray for for-profit prisons. Skimp out on their ingredients. Yeah, exactly. This isn't meat, it's frozen meat.
And yes, unfortunately I'm not Frosty, so I can't bounce off of you like this.
That's fine. I'll do what I can. We'll do what we can. These episodes of Stargate aren't that good anyway, so don't worry. And Ryan will chip in when we chip in. We'll just explore the different dynamics to the pod.
I'm eating chips, so I'll chip in when I chip in.
Hey-o!
Are you going to share with the class?
Sure, if you can figure out where I live.
Hope.
Hang on. Hang on.
Wait a second.
Yeah. We also get a load more ideology because, fuck. Again, I did this. This bit was written Frosty in mind, but, SG9 are fucking bootlicker, fucking cop bootlickers.
I mean, they're part of the political team, the negotiators. They, of course they're going to be bootlickers. You have to be to get things going the way you want them to.
I actually don't mind SG9's, I actually don't mind the way they're portrayed here. This makes perfect sense. It's like, look, they literally have like teleportation material. They have like ridiculously advanced technology. If we go in their guns blazing, we're just going to lose. It's pointless.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're right. They're absolutely fucking right on that. But more, just the way they absolutely suck up and parrot the shit they've been fed. Like, listen, these guys, they have no crime except crimes of passion. Why are people still going to prison if there's no if there is no crime? Because why do you have the prison?
I mean, it's there. We can't do anything about it. We may as well just use it for what it's for. So let's just make all minor crimes major crimes. Well, problem solved.
Fun fact: that is actually an episode of Stargate Atlantis. This episode will be done again. We will get this exact, basically the exact same concept again. Except in Stargate Atlantis, where the setup is much better because of how Stargate Atlantis' setup works just so much better for this, because we would have to get into the details of Atlantis to explain why the Atlantis setup is just so much better.
Mm. Prisoners, but this time on Alcatraz.
Yeah.
but yeah, like, have zero tolerance and all that. It sounds very bootlicky, and we all know what we do to bootlickers. So, you know, I think we can just move on without me having to use the beep button. It's fine. But we get a lovely argument between the two varieties of meathead. We get the jarhead versus the diplomatic fucker. Which, like, can we fight them? They stole our men. No, we want to make friends. We want to suck up. And General Hammond is like, no, boys. You two need to get on with your job. I'm going to all over these people, you know? If there's one thing that will persuade them, it's... And Hammond has volunteered himself for a mission. But it's okay. Everything's fine. Also, they keep talking about SG-3's mission an awful, awful lot, don't they?
They do. But what is the mission?
It's recon. Don't worry about it. It's fine. I'm sure there's nothing weird going on.
No.
No.
No, we don't need to know what military is up to. It's all... black market anyway.
It's just another recon mission. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Do not pay attention to the plot point we are setting up. But we go back to prison. Carter is vibing with Lynetta. She's vibing with her new girlfriend. She'll have to explain things to Dr. Frazier when she gets back. And Lynetta, she fucking balls. Like, yeah, I'm in here for mass murder. Because I fucked up an experiment, people died, I tried to help, I made it worse. So yeah, I belong in this fucking prison. But you know what? I'll take you guys breaking me out. I can live with this. Which, you know, Paula.
Yeah, as soon as I heard this, I know when, she's prison boss, somehow, and she apparently only did a fuck-up, a fucky-wucky.
No. I'm prison boss, and I'm now going to tell you exactly what I did to gain your trust, so that you can help me in my plot.
Does not add up.
No. Not at all.
Ah, manipulation lessons 101.
Tell some of the truth, but not all of the truth. Also, Lynetta says, listen, I'm only team... Lynetta, like, she tries to sweeten the deal and also, like, squeeze the fucking vice at the same time by, like, listen, I'm only teaming up with you because your arrival has fucked the balance between me and the meathead. We have to go before he starts a prison riot. Which, you know, perfect place for a prison riot. They can't do anything about it because, you know, one way gate.
Is it a one-way gate, though? I wonder what happens if anyone jumped in the other way.
Well, we do see that in a minute. But first, we see George Hammond having a good time going through the gate.
He doesn't get to do this often. They don't let him out.
No,
no, he doesn't.
Reveling any time he gets to be free from the facility.
It's like, I'm the fucking Labrador.
Nope. My brain just went puppy boy George Hammond.
Really?
And my brain immediately just censored itself. Really? Yes. Yes.
All I can imagine in Hope's brain was just beep. No.
Yeah, there was this slight moment where my brain went, puppy. Cross-referencing. Ah. Nope!
Horny on main does not equals horny on podcast, Hope.
I could do both, but no. Someone put the... I'm just going to imagine instead we're putting the Snapchat filter on George Hammond, it's fine.
Oh, God. If I take an image of him, put him through AI filtering and see if we can make him more femboy.
No.
No. Well, someone just photoshopped Don S. Davis's face onto a Stolfo.
No.
Listen, it's still not a worse crime than him appearing in Far Cry.
It is.
But yeah, speaking of what happens if you try to go the wrong way through the gate, Daniel tries to save three dudes from getting caught in the blast. Yeah. And if you go the wrong way through the gate, you will also die. Because it's a one-way wormhole, you're just stepping into a wormhole.
Ah, you're just stepping into the between lands of unknown.
Yeah, basically. You've stepped through the scary door.
You've stepped into the twilight zone.
Yeah. But yeah, Costa is like, no, Daniel Jackson, you do not get to do this. And he starts a fight with Daniel. Tries to fucking kill him.
Vishnal.
Oh, Vishnal, sorry. Where have I got Costa from?
I don't know. You want a coffee?
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. But yeah, Vishnu picks a fight with Daniel, and he is about to kill Daniel before Linnaeus just like rolls a sleight of hand 20 and flashes something in her hand to kill the guy.
Does it kill him or just knock him out?
Oh, it outright kills him.
He's dead.
Interesting.
That means. Sleight of hand 20.
Oh yes, wireless neck break.
Yeah. But anyway. We cut back to George Hammond and General Hammond, welcome to the light zone. It's not a normal sonic zone, but people still, you know, appreciate it. And Hammond here is playing the world's worst
negotiator
and client for his lawyer.
And this is where we have SG9 do it instead.
General, do not say that. He's not doing that. But yes, I am. I'm Texan. I'm going to do this shit because I'm an American. But to be fair, though, Hammond then just says, no, fuck it. We ball. So, give me back SG-1 and let us start afresh, or we're leaving. Oh, you can't? Alright, we're leaving. Goodbye. And if it sucks, hit the bricks. Which, if the slight expanded notes on the subtlety on the wiki are to be believed, they dodged a bullet because apparently they're incredibly xenophobic. Apparently the whole not showing their faces thing is xenophobia, apparently. I don't know.
Oh, yes, Taldor, yes.
Yeah, the Taldorans. Doesn't matter. Never seen again. Sir not appearing in the rest of this franchise.
What's the point in giving faces to something we're only going to hear for about 5 minutes of the episode?
Exactly. Why should we bother casting actors to play these people when we can just not cast actors? And
moving on,
where are we?
Moving on, we see Linnea putting liquid or some salt in Daniel's mouth.
Yes, that's right.
She's got essential oils, you know.
Yeah, so we've got a new dude who's arrived in prison. He's blind, and he stole because he was starving. Which, I mean, I have two things to say here.
Again, crimes of passion only.
Yep. Yeah, that was point number one, was crimes of passion only. Why is this man starving in your perfect civilization?
Well, because he's not part of the perfect civilization. He's part of the underclass.
Oof. Clearly part of the lower class.
Also, why do the people who get sent here are all... He was already filthy and wearing rags in your perfect civilization.
Yeah. The poor... live and work in places like Hull and Grimsby. They dress like this, and they keep the glorious nation of London in the sky working.
The parallels to lower class Britain or America are terrifying.
Yeah, like, it's just your average resident of Grimsby who has escaped the mines.
No, it's just a Bradfordian. I've seen him around there. They're all rough.
But yeah. Apparently Linnea has a very special brand of essential oils as they can cure blindness. once again, this woman has the cure for blindness,
yep,
the ability to make cold fusion out of a moss, and you expect us to just roll with it and then forget about this? Because none of this ever comes up again.
No, because she vanishes to who knows where.
Wait, she never comes back?
I have comments about it. Wait till the end of the episode.
Okay.
I'll say it then. But yeah, the good news is being choked out by a big guy gives Jackson superpowers of being able to read the script. And by reading the script, he goes, wait a minute, SG-3 are going to this planet. We can go there and meet them, and then they can send us home.
Oh, but how did he find that out? That's never explained. Yay, plot points.
Jackson pays attention to the mission briefings because he's a nerd. So that's why.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Don't worry about it.
That echo screams nerd. Of course it does, yes.
Well, Jackson is the nerd bracket archaeology, and Carter is the nerd bracket science. Tilk is the nerd bracket shooting people.
Yes, if you could be a nerd in being a big, big badass brute, Tilt's got it.
Yeah, our boy Kratos, exactly. But yeah, let's go. We have an episode to wrap up. When the food arrives, SG-1 take their chance, and we make use of some prop cables wrapped in prop fluff to dial the gate. But you know, it works, I guess. And sneakily, the blind guy we see sneaks in after them. And everyone else is too late to make the escape.
Yep, including the weird guy who we still don't know what he was up to.
But it's okay. We are short for time. We're just going to have to cut straight back to Earth. Because, hey, look, SG-1 are back on Earth. Because we don't need to have them explain to SG-3. We can just have them explain to Hammond and pretend they said the exact same thing to SG-3. It's fine.
Yep.
Yeah, we just need to tell Hammond all about our time in space, Guantanamo. And Linnea apparently comes from a world that is super advanced, but is confused by the presence of glass, concrete, and steel.
It's really weird how advanced the world she comes from is, but also not advanced.
And it's apparently part of the Taldoran's system group, because they were the ones that sent her to jail. But
maybe Taldor doesn't have glass, concrete, and steel. Maybe they have their own materials, and that's why it's so alien.
But glass is so simple. It's literally hot sand.
To us, maybe. But then Stargate's loopholes aren't exactly sparse, are they?
Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
But yeah, listen, we think this Linnea person, we get it. You think she's awesome, but rules are rules. Get a medical examination first. One of you could have been alone in a room with a capitalist. Who knows what he might have done to you? That was an aliens joke. Never mind. But yeah, they go to the med bay, and Carter introduces Linnea to a computer. And she's like, hey, Linnea, come over here. I want to tell you about something called a podcast. This is my favorite. It's called MacGyver Oversight. It's three British people talking about MacGyver. Yeah. She then loads up YouTube and starts showing her cat videos. Yep. You know.
Shows her the depths of Reddit. Don't go there.
What's that woman doing to that other woman with that? Oh!
Oh, oh my. I might be into this.
Frasier's in the background like, Sam, you don't need to show her your porn collection. It's fine. It's fine. You don't need another girlfriend.
What's this dark place here? That's B. Do not go there.
What's this place called somethingawful.com?
No.
Who is this man called Grover?
But yeah, can I just say, so she doesn't understand concrete or something. She can just work a computer. Pretty fine. Pretty fine.
She's clearly from a more advanced civilization that has computers, so she knows what she's doing.
Well, it's really weird.
Well, it doesn't matter because we leave them alone for a debrief. We find out where Jack and Tilk and Jackson share their experiences of being in jail. And then SG3 are like, hey, we bought the plot. We found it skulking around on the other planet.
And the guy's just like, by the way, that lady...
Destroyer of worlds.
And it's like, explain?
Miss only appearing in one more episode.
I also am curious, because they obviously go through the portal and end up back in SGC immediately. The blind man's only a few seconds behind them. So
well,
how
did... The thing.
Where did he go?
They go to P2 whatever. The blind man somehow manages to stalk them through there, get by SG3 as well. And...
I mean, I think they were like waiting by the gate. Maybe they went a bit way out to look for SG3. Like followed their tracks to try and meet them, and the blind guy just hid.
Maybe that could be it, but because we were so low on time in the episode, we couldn't see that.
Yeah, we don't have time to show you this stuff. The episode is almost over. Everyone is looking over the edge of the TV screen at the runtime bar, and like
45 minutes is coming up quick. We need to cut this.
Yeah. And Linnea's like, hey, Sam, thanks for the date. Thanks for showing me all this shit. I particularly enjoyed my trip to /R/...
And then just fucking bleh!
You're unconscious. Let me have a look through this database.
And
I'm
let me
take some
of
that porn
with me.
Best
woman ever. Like, actually ever.
Listen, she's very, very good at...
hacking.
Yeah, she's good at what she does.
But yeah, while they're all up there, like, having a chat and, like, trying to figure out what's going on, suddenly everything starts to, like, turn on or shut down or lock out.
Yeah. Oh, hey, who dialed the gate? Why is the gate dialing?
Why is
the auto-destruct on?
Why is the auto-destruct on? Why are we locked out of the gate room?
Hi, Linnea, what are you doing in the embarkation room?
Why is our security system so primitive and crap that a woman that's never touched the system can suddenly,
well,
get into every
just so
system.
She's smart and advanced. She knows what she's doing. Yeah, I have no idea.
And that's what you get for setting all your passwords to 12345, people.
Well, they are the military.
Blaze, do you want to learn something horrifying?
Go on.
For several years, the passcode for the Minuteman missiles was 000000.
Yes, and I remember rightly that the president's password was literally just POTUS.
Yes. Oh, no. But the thing with the missiles, it gets even better because they also fucked with the democracy system because to launch 65 missiles, all one person had to do was put in 6 zeros because they were all linked. And they had basically scapegoated the, quote, democracy system, which is so everyone has to approve the launch, by basically setting the response time to 0 so it would win the vote by 1-0 and every single nuclear missile in America would fire. Kennedy found out about this and he ordered the explosive bolts removed from every single nuclear missile silo until this was fixed.
Which is honestly probably the smartest move any president in America has ever made in their life.
Yeah. He was absolutely fucking scared of this shit.
Not rightfully so.
Yeah. Which is great, unless the nuclear war had happened, and then some poor intern would have had to be out there putting the bolts back on before the rockets flew. Talk about a rush job. But anyway.
And this is why we have numerous levels of security and activation in our deadliest weapons before we get to activate them.
Needs that. That sounds gay.
But America have to keep it simple.
Safety and not nuking the Russians. That's incredibly gay.
Yeah.
Everything that Russia doesn't want.
Exactly. It's perfect. But it's okay. The self-destruct is counting down and...
Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
Yeah, they're lucky. It was a fake out. Everything powers down, and
yeah, so Linnea
we end on the words, all debts are paid.
Thank you for your kindness.
Thank you for your kindness.
And then just ominous silence and staring all into the distance.
Yeah, GG, you just released a mass murderer.
Like, not a mass murderer, a fucking planet killer.
Yes, planet level genocide. Let's go.
So, does this person ever show up again?
So, I'm going to lose... I have a rant.
Okay.
Will you permit me to rant?
Please rant.
So, we will not see Linnea for 3 to 4 years. Which is the dumbest fucking thing ever, because right here, you have probably the best seasonal setup ever. You have just released a mass murderer, a planet genocider, a mass poisoner. Like, this right here is the stuff, like, a D&D arc is made of. Like, this is a long-running... multi-week adventure slash, like, you combine this with the Tok'ra, with like a plot line involving the Tok'ra, you could have your entire season stitched up. Like, SG-1 like goes exploring and then starts finding like ruined villages, destroyed worlds, like finds that Linnea has been up to her own her old shit, and I don't know, they like meet the Tok'ra and they have to do they would like to work with the Tok'ra, but the Tok'ra aren't exactly happy that, hey, you motherfuckers released the destroyer of worlds, what were you thinking, you morons? And then like you have to like catch Linnea to mend your relationship with the Tok'ra, who won't share information about like a Gould attack on Earth or the location of Share or Apophis or something. Like, this is like a writer's dream for potential plot lines.
But do they ever reach that conclusion?
No, Linnea appears in one more episode where she is sympathetic.
Ah, so her story arc is completely squandered.
Yeah, we're not doing anything with this character.
What a
shame.
We're
doing absolutely nothing fucking interesting with this character. It's great, isn't it?
The idea of coming across planets that are either in the start of their sickness arc, going into the mass deaths through these plagues, basically, to planets which are completely extinct would just be terrifying, but so captivating.
Like, the idea of them arriving on a planet and immediately seeing, like, a fucking, like, corpse that's, like, I don't know, like got some kind of big plague all over it, like, and just them knowing immediately what's happened, like, that would be great.
Yeah, or they walk into it and they don't know until they see, like, a big billboard or something where the words, thank you, all debts are repaid, are, like, written on the screen.
And then that kicks off a plot where they're having to use planetary triangulation and other information to try and guess where a next attack will be.
Oh, and they go and they find out where their next attack is going to be, and they go there and they spend the entire time, like, you know, trying to figure out where it's coming from, and then they get a distress call from a different planet because she knew they were there. So she went somewhere else. Like, that would be great.
And you could have done as a two-part finale and it would be a great ender.
It's perfect, yeah. Or hell, you even do something like they have to team up with, like, a minor Gould system lord.
Because their entire planet is being fucking massacred. Yeah.
Yeah, like, Linnea is, oh yeah, I'm off on the anti-Gould warpath, but my solution is I'm killing everyone.
Including the slaves and people like that, yeah.
Exactly, it's... You have got a writer's dream here, and it is spaffed away at the wall.
Well, I didn't know that because I didn't watch. I haven't watched the rest of the season yet, but that's annoying. That's annoying.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I felt like I could say it, because we're not going to see her for 2 to 3 years. You'll have forgotten about this by then.
Yeah,
but I feel
probably.
Like it's one of the reasons why I don't like this episode, because
I enjoyed this episode till you said that. Like, but I enjoyed it.
I had a good time.
Yeah, it's the exact problem. This is an episode full of so much promise, and then it's just nothing happened.
It's all squandered. So many potentials just left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah. I get it. You need to do a one-off episode sometimes, but when you write a one-off episode that has probably the most fucking promise for a storyline, it's a real pain.
So how much work would you think it would take for the three of us, maybe Frosty, to take the entire plot point of SG-1 season 1 and 2, take all the plot points that could have been, and write out a story where they all make sense?
I'll be honest, I would take this over the season finale we get. I would take our theoretical Tok'ra chase over the season finale we get.
Are you willing to share what happens with the finale, or are you going to leave it until later?
I will DM you, because Ryan doesn't need to know.
Yeah, okay. Because I am going to actually be here.
Ryan will be here. You, I don't know whether or not you will be, Blaze. I will tell you. But yeah, like... Well, hell, imagine... Fuck, here's another point, right? We know of a Gorp that's into genetic manipulation and doing fucked up shit with biological weapons.
Oh my god, you could do that. The time fucking thing would work perfectly for a plague. Oh, that doesn't work for evolution, but for a plague, that would be perfect.
Yeah, yeah, we also know of Neoti. Remember Neoti, who fucking stuck a bomb in Cassandra?
Yeah.
Yeah, her thing is like human experimentation and stuff like that. Imagine like the plotline where they're like on the chase of her, and then Linnea gets herself fucking goulded by Nerti. And now you have Nerti supercharged with, like, all of Linnea's knowledge. Plus, this is double jeopardy because she has the fucking Stargate map in her head. Like, there's so many plot points you could do with this character, and she's back once.
Back once to let you all know she still exists. Oh, and there she goes. Never did see him again.
Basically. Also, she can make cold fusion with a plant. Carter brings back samples and she leaves her correct activator formula.
And nothing so is done with it.
At this point, humanity has cold fusion from plants.
Yeah.
And it goes nowhere.
Also, probably the cure for blindness.
All of these MacGuffins that we could use, and all of them are just left in the dust. Because they're not needed. Basically. Not needed for the plot.
I mean, they're not needed yet.
That's why Daniel suddenly doesn't need glasses 2 episodes later.
No, nothing to do with that, I'm afraid.
Ah.
Hold on. Humanity will get their own version of cold fusion power. I believe it's next season.
Oh. A little bit early.
Season 3 is the introduction of the Naquita generator, something that will be its own plot point. And it's better than moss than cold fusion moss. But anyway, so what's this episode say about the American military, which is the thesis of the podcast?
Honestly,
a thesis we are rapidly ignoring half the time.
This episode doesn't say too much, really.
The American military are doing things behind the screen's back without explaining what's going on and just hoping that we can pick up the pieces.
I mean, well, this episode is very much it says more about the Tal'Dorei military / prison system than the American, because it's like, hey, we're just gonna fuck it. Honestly, the totalitarian regime, the arresting for any crime immediately gives you the same life sentence as a fucking plague killer. Mm-hmm. And literally, oh hey, we can easily explain away why all this happened. Nope, don't care. Like, this episode is very much the military are trying to do the right thing. Hell, I even negotiate in this episode.
Hmm. Yeah, Hammond is literally like, no, you do not go in there guns blazing, you will lose this war.
We will negotiate, and then the negotiations fail because they are literally just blanket statement, no, we have made the right decision, we are perfect, shut up.
Yeah, you're against a bunch of xenophobic fascists with a very strict criminal code.
Yeah, it's really weird.
It is.
I mean, draw parallels between the Tal'Dorei, like, regime and like some like more authoritarian military regimes, but like not really the American military. They're bad, but they're not that bad.
Yeah, like, we're not like I feel like this is why it would have been nice to have Frankie on, because I think Frankie might know or like another American might know a bit more about like other aspects of American culture that this might relate to.
Yes, having an American on would be a good idea for this sort of thing.
That's why we normally don't have one, because it's funnier not to.
Aye, true. Then they can't get offended when we say something wrong.
Yeah. But, like, for an attempt... Yeah, it's... It I think that's it. I think we're done. Right, let's finish off, and we've got another episode to record.
All right.
You're still up for it.
All right.
So, I've been... Thank you, everyone, for listening. I've been Hope Frayol. You can find me as on Twitter as at HFrayoral, and on Twitch as at Hope Frayoral. I'm doing a 24-hour... This episode won't be out by then. Never mind. No, wait, yes, it will. I'm doing a 24-hour stream on the 10th of June. Come join me. 12-hour. Ryan, where can people find you?
Hi, I'm Ryan. I exist purely on this podcast currently because I do not do anything else.
Yeah. It's the Ryan who lives in your phone.
Okay.
He lives Blaise, in the back of your head.
Apparently, I live in people's phones, according to Hope and Frosty.
You live in...
Listen, if you're only on the podcast, you live in people's phones.
If you existed anywhere else, you'd be living in the back of our brains rent-free.
Ooh.
You don't want to go back there.
Yeah, but I can
you don't, see really see don't want to go to the back of my brain.
I can sue your credit card.
Please don't. No! There's nothing on it.
Yeah, but I don't hope. I'll get hopes.
Screw you. I need that money to buy tickets to see my other girlfriends.
No! I need to buy a video game.
I'm going to take a trip to Vegas. Down by the lonesome road. And Blaze, where can people find our guest?
It's relatively new, but you can find me on Twitter at AdiraSol. You can also find me on Twitch at Blaze Solaris, all one word, obviously. And that's about it, really. If that's it, if you want to follow me, that is, I don't mind either way. But it's been absolutely... I can't speak English, even though I've been speaking English all of my life. But thank you for having me on for this podcast. It's been lovely to be here.
It's nice all right, you're back on the next one.
Oh, I'm aware. I'm going to do this all again.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
It wasn't exactly an official mission. You know what I mean.
There we go. Not to spoil the surprise, but that was one of two very special episodes of Stargate Oversight. That's right, we got Blaze in for two episodes. She's back next week. Don't worry, everything, like, this one was a little slow. I think we were all feeling each other out. This is our first time. She was brand new to podcasting, and I think she did fucking brilliantly. Give my girlfriend, like, a massive pat on the back. And if I hear any of you hating on her, I know where you live. Probably. She's lovely. Anyway, Stargate Oversight is normally myself, Hope Frayol, editor and producer of the show. Frosty, our executive vice president in charge of money and stuff. And Ryan is our lawyer, question mark? Brackets, not actual lawyer, do not sue him. Also, Mr. Ball, Ryan will box you. Probably not. Anyway, Blaze, and our guest, of course, this one was the lovely Blaze Solaris. Don't forget patreon.com/sgopodcast for extended cuts and bonus episodes. Going to be recording tomorrow's bonus episode, the next bonus episode, very soon. It is Evangelion 2.22. Shinji, you are indeed transgender. Bye, everyone.